Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our blessed Lord Jesus. The words again, just a few of those words from the second book of Chronicles in the 24th chapter, the first three verses. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Jehoiada got for him two wives, and he had sons and daughters. And after this, Joash decided to restore the house of the Lord. We pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So last week, we considered the reign of Judah's king Jehoshaphat. You might remember he is the one who made the marriage alliance with the northern kingdom of Israel by giving his son Jehoram in marriage to Athaliah, the daughter of the wicked king of the north, Ahab, and his even more wicked wife, Jezebel. And that alliance made sense to Jehoshaphat for a number of reasons, but possibly also he was thinking this could be a way to reunite the tribes of Israel under one king, under the throne of David. But as we know, in the end, this alliance bore disastrous fruit. That's what happens when you get into bed with the devil, right? And when Jehoram, his son, died, and there was nobody else, the Bible tells us, who could take the throne, that opened up the way for Athaliah to seize the crown of Judah and the throne of David. Now, there's a triple outrage here. First of all, there is a woman on David's throne, a king's throne. Secondly, she is not of the house and lineage of David, and yet she is sitting on David's throne. And third, she is wicked beyond belief. How wicked was she? I'm glad you asked. First thing Athaliah did when she seized the throne, 2 Chronicles 22, we read, she destroyed all the royal family of the house of Judah. All right, in plain English, what that means is that to eliminate all rivals to the throne, she set out to kill everyone in the family who might have a claim to the throne, and in this case, her own grandsons. That's right, she took out her own grandsons to ensure her grip on the throne. Someone once referred to Athaliah as Granny the Ripper. And if that wasn't bad enough, Athaliah also led the kingdom of Judah into whoredom with other gods, the gods of the Canaanites. But then again, what would you expect of the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel? She led Judah in idolatry, just like her parents led Israel in idolatry. And is it any wonder then that under the reign of Athaliah, the temple of God in Jerusalem was abused and abandoned and quickly fell into disrepair? These were the fruits of Jehoshaphat's alliance with the devil. It was a terrible time of apostasy, of falling away in the kingdom of Judah. But there is one ray of hope in this story, one act of God's providence to save the day. Athaliah's daughter, Jehoshabeath, who was married to Jehoiada the priest, the godly priest, and knowing that she was on her own mother's kill list, somehow escaped the carnage, and bless her heart, as they say in the South, right? Bless her heart, she spirited away secretly one of Athaliah's grandsons, who was just a baby at the time, and she took him to a safe place where he was spared his grandma's bloodthirst. And in this way, God preserved the royal line of David. which had come just within a cat's whisker, a single baby boy, of being completely destroyed. But as we read last week, God had made a promise to David. You remember that promise? That a descendant of his would always and forever sit upon the throne of David. And for the sake of that promise, God did not and he could not allow the house of David to be destroyed. And how appropriate that God kept this oath to David through a woman named Jehoshabeath, who saved that child, whose name means Yahweh has made an oath. Well, that little boy that Jehoshabeath spirited away to safety was named Joash. And he was raised in the early years of his life by Jehoshabeath and her husband, the priest Jehoiada, a godly man, a godly couple. And they raised him in the word of God to fear and to love the Lord and to love the house of the Lord. And so that all bodes well. Meanwhile, as this child is being raised somewhere secretly, there is these disastrous 6 years of Athaliah's reign on the throne of David. But when Joash turned 7, Jehoiada, who had raised him, hatched a plot to seize the throne back, to give the throne back to its rightful heir, the only prince that was still left in the royal line of David, to give the throne to Joash, Judah's rightful king. And so this plot that Jehoiada launched involved a large ceremony at which Joash was introduced to the crowds, the son of David, rightful heir to the throne of David. And he was crowned as the king at 7 years old. And all of the people loudly hailed their new king, and the trumpets were blowing, and there were shouts of joy. And Athaliah heard the ruckus and the commotion, and she comes running out. She sees what's happening, and she cries, "Treason! Treason!" But she is seized according to the plot, and she is put to death. And thus, at 7 years old, Joash, the son of David, the boy king of Judah, ascended to the throne. And we read in 24 verse 2 tonight that Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Good king. He did right in the eyes of the Lord. But did you notice that there's a troubling note in that sentence I just read? Joash did what was right during the days of Jehoiada. As long as Jehoiada, the godly priest, was alive, the man who raised him, as long as he was alive and advising Joash, all was well. But what happens when Jehoiada, that godly influence in his life, is gone one day? But for the time being, he's a good king. And under the advisement of Jehoiada, Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, right? He tore down all of those places of worship, the Asherim and all the altars to Baal that Athaliah had set up, cleansed the temple, gathered the tax so that the temple could be renovated to its proper status, and they restored the house of the Lord to its place as the house of the Lord. And there Joash offered burnt offerings to the Lord. And all the days that King Joash reigned under the influence of Jehoiada, the true worship of God was restored to Solomon's temple. And we read in the book of Chronicles that the land rejoiced and the city was quiet. Ah, that's nice, isn't it? Ah, but you know what's coming, don't you? Yeah, then it becomes quite ominous. And we turn to the 24th chapter, verses 17 and 18, and we read these words. Then Amaziah, the king of Judah, took counsel and sent to Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehud, king of Israel, saying, Come, let us look one another in the face. I'm sorry, that was chapter 25. Let's go back to chapter 24, turn two pages. 17. Now after the death of Jehoiada, the princes of Judah came and paid homage to the king, and the king listened to them. And they abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served the Asherim and the idols. And then we read in verse 22, Joash the king did not remember the kindness that Jehoiada, Zechariah's father, had shown him. So here we go. So the temple that Joash had spent so much time in his youth renovating and cleaning and restoring, he suddenly forsakes it, and he starts worshiping dead idols. You see, Joash was very weak. He was really just a puppet of anybody who happened to be counseling him at the time. As long as Jehoiada was counseling him, everything was well and good. But now Jehoiada is gone, and here come these princes, it says, these throwbacks to the age of Athaliah, and they start counseling him, and like a weather vane in the wind, he just quickly turns. He's like a ship without a rudder, just tossed to and fro by everybody's opinions. And they start worshiping idols, and he abandons the Lord, his God. God sends prophets to try to call Joash, now an adult, back to the Lord to repent, but he paid no attention to them. God's word was of no interest to him anymore. He rejected the prophets. So finally, God sent Zechariah, Jehoiada's son, the same Jehoiada that had raised Joash. Now think about that. Zechariah is Jehoiada's biological son. Joash is effectively Jehoiada's adopted son. And so it could well be these two grew up together as boys, played together, laughed together, ran together. So surely if anybody could get through to Joash, it would be Zechariah, with whom he had grown up in the same household. So Zechariah comes and he makes his appeal to the king and to the people. And we read it tonight. He says, "Why do you break the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper?" Well, the king did not like to be called out in front of his people. And the people didn't much appreciate it either. And they all conspired against Zechariah. They did not listen to him, but conspired against him and stoned him to death in the courts of that very temple that Joash had once restored as the house of God. Where once Joash had sacrificed bulls and goats to the Lord, now he sheds the blood of the Lord's prophet, his own brother. And as far as we know, Joash never repented. We read tonight that he was assassinated. He was wounded in a battle, severely wounded, and then his servants finished him off, assassinated him, and he was destroyed. In the Chronicles of Joash, I think we see a number of applications for our lives. And the first one, I hope, is maybe of some comfort to you if you've experienced something in your life as a Christian parent. How many Christian parents have watched a child of theirs that they raised up in the Lord forsake the Lord and his house? Now for Jehoiada, at least he wasn't alive to see his beloved Joash forsake God. But maybe some of you, some of us, have seen this happen with young ones in our lives. Our children, maybe your grandchildren or nieces or nephews perhaps. And they fell in with the wrong people and they were drawn away from the Lord. You know, we're reminded of Paul's word to the Corinthians, bad company ruins good morals. And we saw there's children turn away and abandon the Lord, and oh, how it hurts if you've experienced that. And many parents, bear a horrendous sense of guilt over this. What did I do wrong? What could I have done better? But in the story of Joash, we take heart that even a child who is raised faithfully to love the Lord and to love the Lord's house can stumble and fall. And that's not, I mean, no parent is perfect, but that's not the fault of parenting so much as it is the work of Satan, who never stops attacking us or our loved ones. And so our job is that we must never stop praying for those who have fallen away, because the good shepherd never stops looking for his lost lambs, and his mighty spirit and his powerful gospel are able to bring back the prodigal. And if you've ever seen that in your life, oh, how you rejoiced. I think another application of the story of Joash is a word of caution to all of us as the children of God, no matter how old or young we may be, lest that we too not come under the influence of a bad company and be conformed to them and to this world rather than be transformed by Christ. And it's not that we shouldn't be out there in and amongst the unbelievers of this world to love them, witness to them, serve them. But as we do so, we must carefully guard our souls against their influence. And the way we do that is through regular worship in the fellowship of our fellow believers, as we come together like we are right now to hear the word of God, to be nourished on the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, to remember our baptism and who we are in Jesus, and to encourage each other. As we read in Hebrews tonight, do not neglect to assemble yourselves, but encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Do not forsake wisdom, the proverb says, and she will protect you. And I remember what Joshua said to the Israelites as they prepared to enter the promised land. He said, now vigilantly guard your souls. Joash, good king or not? What's your call? Whatever he is, he's just another king who fell short, isn't he? And clearly we need a better king than that. A king who will set up a temple for God that will never fall into disrepair, never be defiled. And Joash, as flawed as he was, nevertheless points us to that better king, another boy king, who also came to his temple in his youth, who loved the temple, the house of God, even cleansed the temple like Joash did, chasing out those who had turned God's house into a den of thieves, as we read in the gospel reading tonight, to restore the temple to its proper use as a house of prayer, a place where people meet God in his mercy and his grace to receive his forgiveness. But even that temple of stone that Jesus cleansed was destined for destruction just 40 years later. So Jesus, as our better king, set up a better temple. Not a temple of stone this time, but the temple of his own flesh, wherein God came to dwell among us with all of his redeeming grace and love. And of course, they tried to destroy that temple. They crucified him to the death and to the grave. But as Jesus once said, we read tonight, destroy this temple and I will raise it up again in 3 days. And sure enough, the scripture says that his body did not see corruption in the grave. And that on the third day, just as he said, his temple of flesh was raised again, to be the temple of God among us that cannot be defiled or ever destroyed. And in that temple of his risen flesh, he now lives among us with grace and every blessing, the forgiveness of our sins that he purchased for us at the cross at the cost of his own blood. Life, salvation, hope, joy, and peace, and grace enough even for every Joash of this world who repents and returns to the Lord. So learn well the lesson of King Joash. In one season of his life, he is tending to the temple of the God he loved. But then in a latter season, he forsakes both the temple and his God and is destroyed. The devil is on the prowl for you too, for your children and for any children in your life, seeking to devour us, destroy us, and kill us, as Jesus says in John's gospel. He wants to make you the next Joash. Therefore, surround yourself and anyone in your life that you love, surround them with godly company as best you can. And especially that means be in the church and do not become the companions of bad company, but and be conformed by them. But keep coming to the Lord's house, to the Lord's temple, which our King set up to be the place where forever he is Emmanuel, God with us. And where is that temple where God meets and forgives and nourishes us? But in the body of Jesus Christ, the church, where the gospel, the water, the bread, the wine, the body, and the blood will always be the pledge of his covenant to us of mercy and of grace. Come here often. Diligently guard your soul. In Jesus' name, amen.